Welcome to Season 3 of Sea Salt and Parm. I'm Michaela from The Millennial Outside, a teller of stories, a lover of food, a wanderer of wild places, and a wearer of many hats. This is me sharing the simple things in life that I find extraordinary. Can I tell you a story?
If this is your first time here because you so graciously typed in a URL from our Christmas card, welcome. This is Sea Salt and Parm, my podcast where I've been sharing the simple things that I find extraordinary for the past 2 years. If you're not new here, and you're wondering to yourself, was she really extra enough to do a podcast Christmas letter? The answer is yes. Yes, she was. When I was little, before smartphones and social media, when email was still a newfangled way to communicate, my mom started writing weekly emails to my great-grandma, her grandmother. In her Dear Granny emails, my mom would share updates about our lives and photos. She started including other relatives, friends who lived far away. At one point, I think the Dear Granny distribution list was over 80 people. My mom was a blogger before her time. The emails lasted long after my granny passed away. As we got older and it started to fizzle out, the duration between emails became longer and longer. Sometimes I'd write them for her. This wasn't the beginning of my journey as a writer. That started pretty much as soon as I could form letters and was given free access to paper and pencil. But it reminds me of my inherited love for words, for sharing. Christmas letters are a little old-fashioned, sure. Christmas letters by blog or podcast might be a little over the top, definitely. But I'm a lover of words, a sharer, and this tradition is one that I love to continue on year after year. So welcome to our 2022 Christmas letter. A link to photos can be found in the description. Thanks for listening. On the eve of 2022, I was picturing a year full of adventure and change. Topher had just graduated college. We had big dreams to move abroad and other big adventures planned for the year. I'm sitting here recording this in the same apartment where we hatched those big dreams, so, spoiler alert, we didn't move. The year looked very different than I had imagined, but it was still full of adventure and change. So, here are the simple things from this year that, when put together, turned into an extraordinary 2022. Chapter 1. Weekends. I've always found it strange how malleable time is. There's 64 hours between when you turn off your computer on a Friday evening and when you boot it back up come Monday. Sometimes, those scant few hours seem to pass in a flash. Suddenly it's bedtime on Sunday, and all we have to show for it is a Starbucks receipt and another book read. Other times, those 64 hours can burst at the seams. Those sorts of weekends are my favorite. We've put 120,000 miles on our poor Subaru in just 5 years, and while some of those miles are cross-country, most are from our weekend warrior adventures. 2022 was no exception. In January, we found ourselves on the back of a dog sled in Durango, the icy air numbing our faces as we leaned hard first this way and then that as we helped drive a team of 8 huskies through the snow. In April, we drove all the way to Texas on a whim, the miles and miles of lonely prairie rolling past our windows as we made our way to a postage stamp-sized town where barbecue was served on picnic tables and cactuses bloomed with tiny yellow flowers. On the way home, we camped on a mesa in southeastern Colorado and spent the next day hiking 12 miles to see dinosaur tracks. As the leaves started to hint at just changing, we crisscrossed the state every weekend, eating charcuterie on a deck in Snowmass for our anniversary and biking through a sea of aspens in Crested Butte. Don't get me wrong, I always love the big trips, but sometimes 64 hours is all you need. Chapter 2. Falling in love again. It had been 21 months since the last time I'd heard that magical click as my boot snapped into my binding. 21 months since I'd ridden a chairlift, icy wind kissing my face. 21 months since I'd raced my dad down a blue groomer or squealed in delight at perfect, pillowy moguls. After most of 2 seasons down the drain thanks to COVID, I can't tell you how wonderful it was to get to ski again this year. My best ski buddy, my dad, and I spent many hours riding lifts, skiing powder, reconnecting with old friends, and listening to classic rock stuck in I-70 traffic this past year, and it reminded me just how much I love my first sport again. Chapter 3. Exceeding Expectations. Sometimes I worry that if I build something up too much in my head, it will never live up to expectations. After planning, booking, and canceling trips to France in 2020 and 2021 thanks to COVID, I didn't allow myself to fully believe that this third time would be the charm until we landed in Paris. By the time we'd spent 15 hours flying, lugged our 50-pound, way overpacked suitcases through 3 train stations, found our portable Wi-Fi in a locker, bumped over cobbled sidewalks and up 6 flights of stairs with said suitcases, we were disheveled, sweaty, and utterly exhausted. But the moment we stepped out onto our balcony overlooking the Paris streets below, I knew that no matter how many times I'd planned this trip, no matter how many photos I had gazed at over the years, Paris would certainly exceed our expectations. We spent a magical week in the City of Light, strolling along the Seine, eating at least one croissant every single day, seeing the touristy sights, exploring less touristy neighborhoods, eating picnics in parks, drinking café au lait on street corners, and finally using my college French. We took the train out to the Champagne region to go to a champagne house from the 17th century, where we toured the caves where they age the bottles and sit bubbly at 10 a.m., and we watched the Eiffel Tower sparkle at midnight. After Paris, we went south to Provence and stayed in a tiny village perched on a hill. We explored all the little towns and went to markets bursting with produce and olives and cheese and every manner of amazingness we could wish for. Topher drove us through lavender fields and tiny village streets in a stick shift Fiat 500. My contribution was translating the street signs. Our last destination was along the French-German border. We stayed in Colmar, a fairy tale town with half-timbered buildings in every color of the rainbow, where swans floated in the canals that ran through town and storks built nests on top of churches. We rented bikes and rode through vineyards and toured a castle and swapped croissants for soft pretzels. It was every bit as magical as I had hoped. Chapter 4. Flying halfway across the world to play Yahtzee. In the months leading up to our Kilimanjaro climb, my dad and I spent hours agonizing over our packing lists. We'd call each other in between meetings, debating base layers, malaria medication, and neoprene sleeves for our Nalgenes. I packed and unpacked my suitcase several times in the week leading up to our flight. I was pretty sure I had everything I needed to tackle Tanzania's Mount Kilimanjaro, a 19,340-foot peak and one of the world's 7 summits. Little did I know, the most important thing we'd pack would be 5 dice. Well, that and Mucinex. A bucket list trip decades in the making, my dad and I had planned this expedition to belatedly celebrate his 60th birthday. We'd trained, we'd honed our gear, we'd gotten triple vaxxed and malaria medication. We were ready. From the very get-go, there were signs that the trip wasn't going to go as planned. Before we even left the U.S., we experienced long airport and flight delays in Boston, missed our flights out of Amsterdam. We ended up buying new tickets to Tanzania and Europe, switching airlines, detouring through the Middle East before we finally touched down in Moshi. Our bags, however, were still somewhere between there and Boston. We spent a stressful couple days waiting for our luggage we'd so carefully agonized over, and it finally arrived at 1 a.m. the morning we were set to start climbing. We thought we were finally in the clear. That was until we started to feel sick several days into the climb. By 14,000 feet, we both felt pretty terrible. A rapid test revealed somehow we both managed to catch COVID-19. Nearly 2.5 years, and it had finally caught up with us. We did a pretty wild medical evac off the mountain in the middle of the night and spent the better part of a week reading, walking around the suburbs of Moshi, and playing approximately 1,000 rounds of Yahtzee. If you want to hear my dad and I recount the whole adventure, listen to Season 3, Episode 1. Of course, I'm disappointed we didn't get a summit, but I'm so grateful we both got off the mountain safely and made it home healthy. I'm embarrassed to say I'd never given Africa much thought, but getting to experience the beauty of the Tanzanian culture, the kindness of the people there, I feel so much richer. It ended up being a wild, and most of the time, fun and amusing adventure I got to share with my dad, and those days will be forever imprinted on my brain. Chapter 5. Seeing my name in print. As a kid, I always told people I wanted to be a vet or work for the CIA or be a forensic investigator, but that was always because myself, or maybe the world around me, convinced me early on that I couldn't be a full-time writer. Even still, it was always a dream and always part of who I wanted to be. From the time I wrote staple-bound stories in colored pencil as a kid to my early professional days when I guest blogged on other people's websites, I never stopped writing. It was a bit of a surreal moment this summer when the brand I work for unexpectedly had the editor-in-chief position open up. I'd been splitting my time between sales support and writing for national park trips, an outside brand, which is a digital and print publication that helps people plan vacations to our national parks, for the past 4 years. In July, I stepped into the editor role, which means I'm now solely responsible for all the content we release. I've spent the fall writing, editing, and publishing our magazines alone, save for my freelance art director. It's a ton of work, but it was so worth it when I picked up the first issue from the check stand at the grocery store, flipped it open, and saw my name at the top of the masthead.
I'll link my first issue, The Grand Canyon Journal, in the show notes in case you want to see the cover on Amazon. Chapter 6, Better Than the Photos. Several years ago, I came across a photo of a mystical-looking valley in Wyoming. A picture-perfect lake was ringed by beautiful and imposing-looking peaks in the Wind River Range. Late this summer, I convinced Topher and his dad, Scott, to backpack there with me. We spent 3 incredible days hiking past countless sparkling lakes with bald eagles perched above them, and up and over 2 mountain passes. We camped under the stars and hiked to the chorus of pika cries and marmot whistles. I don't care how much Photoshop can change the way a place looks. It's always better in person. Chapter 7, Cheering on Our People. Getting to celebrate our friends is one of my absolute favorite things to do, and this year was full of it. In January, I flew to Los Angeles and got to meet my best friend Ben's new boyfriend and hike along the coast and eat incredible food together. In October, we danced the night away as we celebrated our friends Orion and Caitlin getting married. And my lifelong friend Serena welcomed the most beautiful blue-eyed baby girl into the world, and meeting her this fall was so incredibly special. Along the way, we celebrated new jobs and international moves and promotions, and I'm just so proud of our people. Chapter 8, Seeing the World Through a Puppy's Eyes. Our backpacking trip was the last big thing we had planned for the year, which officially freed us up to adopt the puppy we'd been pining for months. Saying goodbye to Kenzie Dog in 2021 left us with a sad and lonely dog for a year. We were determined to take it slow and find the perfect fit, but the moment we laid eyes on a floppy-eared German Shepherd mix on Petfinder, we were already picking out names. Not so little Hazelnut is more than 40 pounds of pure joy. I'd worried that it would be hard to love another dog, but of course those inhibitions shattered the moment we brought her home. She is sweet and silly and too smart for her own good. She loves the snow and getting puppuccinos from Starbucks and being as close to us as physically possible at all times. Getting to see her experience the world has been hands down the biggest joy of my year. I can't wait to spend her whole life getting to know her better and taking her on adventures. Chapter 9, Experimenting. This year, Topher has worked as a barista at a coffee shop, as a mechanic for a local mountain bike brand, as a summer camp counselor at the Denver Zoo, and as an IT guy for a medical device company. He might see it differently, but I'm always in awe of him for the way in which he can learn new things, chase his interests, and give anything a shot. I can't wait to see all the incredible things he does over the course of our lives. If the last few years have taught me anything, it's to make plans and dreams, but to hold them loosely. We have big hopes, big adventures planned for 2023, but who knows what the year will bring. The reality is, we never do. Merry Christmas, friends, and Happy New Year. Love, Michaela, Topher, and Hazelnut.
Thanks for listening, friends. If you like Sea Salt and Parm, please subscribe and leave me a rating, which helps the algorithm suggest my podcast to more listeners. You can find me on Instagram @TheMillennialOutside.